For all of you that are growing weak in your faith, for all of you that's facing the fiery trials, I've got a gold nugget for you. Tim Hill's going to sing it. Let this song lift you up. Let it encourage you. Listen as Tim sings. He's still in the fire.
My mama read a story from the Bible long ago about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How the wicked king commanded they be thrown into the flame because they would not bow and then deny their father's name. Mama said the king stood high upon a balcony so tall, and when he looked in, he was shocked by all the things he saw, 'cause he thought that he would find them lying dead upon the ground. But instead of three, he counted four up walking all around. Well, I said, Mom, wait just a minute. There's one thing that I must know. If three went in and three came out, then where'd the fourth man go? And I never will forget, my mama danced across the floor. And these are the words I heard her say while shouting through the door. She said, he's still in the fire, and he's walking in the flame. And he'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. And he can still deliver by his almighty power. While here below it's good to know he's still in the fire. He's still in the fire, and he's walking in the flame. And he'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. And he can still deliver by his almighty power. While here below it's good to know he's still in the fire. While here below it's good to know he's still in the fire. Now, my friend, you may be destined to face life's hottest flame, but I'm glad that I can tell you through the power of not one flame of fire will harm you. You'll come through it and you'll tell. Yesterday, today, forever, God is still alive and he's well. I know he's still in the fire and he's walking in the flame. And he'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. And he can still deliver by his almighty power. While here below it's good to know he's still in the fire.
Oh my, what a gold nugget. That song lets me know that I do not have to face the fiery trials alone. It lets me know that when I go to the fire, he's already there. God is already working on my problem before I face them. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. In the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, Abraham and Lot had become rich with much silver and much gold and many cattle. And along with all of this substance came tension and strife among the shepherds. The shepherds were fighting among themselves. So Abraham came to Lot and he said, let there be no strife between you and me, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you will take the left hand, I'll go to the right. And if you depart to the right, then I'll go to the left. Abraham had come to the conclusion that in order to live peacefully with his brother, there needed to be a separation. You've heard that old adage, familiarity breeds contempt. This seems to be what happened. They began to quarrel one with another. I believe that this was when Abraham realized the wisdom of God in telling him to separate himself from his father's house and from his kindred. And now we find that Abraham is saying to Lot, separate yourself from me, that there be no strife Don't you know we all have kindred that we must separate ourselves from, lest there be contention? We all have those relatives of ours that we can only love from a distance. Long distance loving. We know that if we spend too much time together, if we try to merge our lives one to another, there will be tension. There will be drama. There will be arguments. Abraham realized this, so he told Lot, "Go ahead, Lot. You choose a place to go." And the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come into Zoar. Did you hear the reading of verse 10? The Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah was in a place that was well watered, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Lot knew about the land of Egypt. He knew about the well-watered plains of the Nile River. And now, as his eyes beheld the plains of Jordan, with all of its water, its rich, fertile land that grew grass up to the cow's belly, the Bible says that Lot chose all of the plains of Jordan. Lot made his choice. Choices has consequences. The Bible tells us that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Nonetheless, he chose the plains of Jordan and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Choices have consequences. Today, God has given us choices. Let us choose wisely. I would like to pause here and say that there was nothing sinful about the choice that Lot made. Lot chose that which was beautiful, a land that was fertile, a land that would provide water and grass for his herd. Lot was wise in his choice. But let us not forget that everything that glitters is not gold, and everything that looks like that it would be the best for us is not always the best for us. Lot did not sin in his choices. Neither did Lot partake of the sins of the men of Sodom. Lot was a righteous man. Lot kept his integrity. The Bible says that Lot's righteous soul was vexed by the sins of the people, by what he saw going on every day. It vexed his soul. Should it not vex our hearts, our souls, to see what is going on in our country today? When we look around us and we see the sin that is being paraded before us, sins that are asking for our approval, when we see all of the things that's going on, even under the guise of religion, it should vex our soul. It should vex our soul as it did Lot's soul while he was living in Sodom. Lot found out that choices does have consequences. Even though Lot chose that which looked like the best, the most watered, the most fertile, God did not forget Abraham. After Lot pulled up his tent and headed east, the Bible says the Lord said to Abraham, "Lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that you see, to you will I give it and to your seed forever." Lot chose all the plains of Jordan for himself, but God chose all of the land that Abraham could see, which included all the plains of Jordan, all the mountains of Judea, all the way from the rivers of Egypt to the Euphrates River. This was what God chose for Abraham. What am I saying? I'm saying, friend, when you have a choice, defer your choice to God. Let Him choose your path. Let Him show you the way. Let Him show you a land that flows with milk and honey, and follow His direction. You will never regret it. Choices have consequences. Choices has rewards. Some of those rewards are good. Some of them are bad. But the choices that God makes for you will always wind up good. The land that God gave to Abraham, those rocky hills in Judea, was the same hills that God chose to build His temple. It was the same rugged hills in which His Son Jesus was given to this earth to forgive all sins of all mankind. It was in these hills of Judea that Jesus gave His life to redeem the world. God knows what He's doing. Defer your choices to God. Allow Him to lead and direct you in the way that you should go, and He will show you a land and all the blessings that you will ever need to survive in this world.